Stephanie Schaefer, and you're listening to the North Star Narrative, a podcast from North Star Academy. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you're encouraged, challenged, and motivated by what you learned today. Enjoy the story. Hey, everybody. Excited for the third episode in this series. So I hope you've been able to go along with us in the series. We have Mr. Blake Weaver here again today because we're talking about the really exciting things that are happening and going to continue to happen in 2023. So we have him here to talk about leadership development today. On the first podcast, the second thing he said that he was excited about for 2023 was moving emerging leaders forward. So I'm excited today to hear from him how the network plans to do that. And so if you are a leader anywhere in the network, or maybe you're a student that is leading in your school or, you know, desire to be a leader, there's something here for everybody as we just press in and pursue leadership development. So thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, Stephanie. Hey, and hey, everybody that's listening. It's always a pleasure. I say that every time, but I mean it. This is a lot of fun. And I look at this as really an opportunity to have a conversation with you and brainstorm together. And this particular topic of leadership development, it just feels so personal to me. And I really get excited about thinking through it. I love concepts that are centered around leadership development. And hopefully my goal today is that we can talk about some practical steps that we're taking internally so people can just know what's going on, number one, but maybe, just maybe, be inspired by something that we say today. That would be cool.
Yeah, really cool. I know you've got a lot of inspiring words, so it will be good as we just continue on this journey. So where should we start?
Well, when I think about leadership development, particularly for us, there's a couple of things that are important to acknowledge up front. Simple things like leadership development doesn't just happen. Like it can happen some organically, but I think and know that a real strategy has to be put behind it for it to gain traction and be really effective. That's number one. Number two, this is huge to me. This is where it gets personal. Leadership development has been identified as a key area of focus for us, not simply because we just need good leaders. I mean, that maybe is good enough, but I think it falls short. The reason why we want to focus on leadership development, in my opinion, this is just Blake speaking, is because leaders need to be developed because it's about the leader too. It's about the person. So I've always seen it as a way for us to intentionally love and serve our people when we're actively trying to develop them. So yes, we do need good leaders. There's no discounting that. And we need a pipeline. We need a funnel. We need lots of them. But the reason that we need that is because we really need to love people well through the process. And so that's the goal. Okay. So it doesn't happen accidentally, number one. Two, leadership development is about the leader too. Okay. So I want to start there. And I've got sort of like a five-step process. If you want to know, maybe we can talk about that a little bit. But I'll pause there. Any thoughts or feedback so far?
Yeah, I'm just super excited to hear how you've been thinking through this over the past 10 months. I know you've got so much from just how you've grown. You know, you've been able to be mentored by our founder himself and other people that God has put in your path. So I know probably these five steps, along with the others you've been working with in the network, are going to come from personal experience. So maybe before you get into the five, what's one as I'm talking? You're like, yeah, that's one that I'm carrying because someone did this in me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've looked back at my upbringing, as an adolescent, but also professionally once I moved into the workforce and been tremendously blessed by a number of people that have actively engaged this development of who Blake is. People that have spent time with me, they acknowledge that I had a desire to be developed and they acted on it. And so just the practical understanding that other leaders have to act upon the opportunities that they see. You might see an emerging leader, somebody that's got a lot of talent, is young and aspires to do more. But it takes a more seasoned leader to engage, to develop that person. And I've had several people that have done that.
Who comes to mind when you're thinking of, gosh, oh, this person invested in me?
Yeah, I think of Dwayne Jobe, honestly. So Dwayne is on the executive team, and Dwayne was my high school science teacher, but he was so much more than that. He was a guy that just was one of those teachers that would just hang out. Like, we would go to lunch or go to dinner, and he was always asking probing questions and also not fearful of the questions that I might ask, you know, as a teenager trying to figure out life. You know, he would engage in those, and it was so helpful to have somebody older and wiser that just took that. And then he never stopped mentoring me, which creates a really unique scenario now where he's on the team and he's still actively mentoring, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, I just have to mention this person that I've had the privilege of walking alongside and just pouring into. And do you find, not only when you're pouring into someone, but you're getting it back too.
Yeah.
Like, you make each other sharper and better. So Jessica Armstrong,
who
edits this podcast.
Yeah.
So yep, we're talking about you right now, Jessica.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I guess she's been here, I mean, 9 years, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, that long. And just walking alongside her and seeing the growth and just talking about a leader, man, I can give her something, just barely say something. She will take it, research it, engage with it, develop something out of it. She is so gifted. And I just wanted to say thank you, Jessica, for all the hard work that you've done just to make this podcast possible.
Yeah.
And then now she's researching all kinds of stuff with AI and the chatbot 3 and just on and on. She really is a go-getter. And yeah, I just think about, she's someone I want to invest in and pour into, because I see her. She's emerging, flourishing.
Yeah. Those thoughts about Jessica are really spot on, Stephanie. Leadership development is a two-way street. So it's always, you mentioned the word sharpening. I love that. That's how
she sharpens
really is.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. And just for the more seasoned leader to be open to the idea that you're actually going to be developed along the way too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have incredible conversations. So yeah, leadership development is fun.
Yeah.
No matter which side you're on. All right. We're ready for the 5 steps.
All right. 5 steps. This is like so profound. Everybody get their notepads out. This is really just some very basic thoughts. I think if you've listened to the first 2 episodes in this series, you should be well aware of that Blake thinks in simple terms. There's nothing, sometimes simple can be profound. I don't ever think of it that way. I just think simple because it's how my mind works. But here's the first really important part of the process, is that leadership development can't just simply be its own standalone initiative. It's got to be a part of the DNA of the organization. So it's got to be cultural, meaning it's got to be part of the culture. If that's true, then for Nix as an organization, what is our culture? How are we defining that? It's interesting. Just recently, we've just taken a deep dive into Patrick Lencioni's Ideal Team Player. If you haven't read that book from him, it is incredible. And it's really about culture and tries to define it in 3 different categories by describing the ideal team player. Like, if your company, organization, your school, if it's full of a bunch of ideal team players, Lencioni contends it's going to be successful. And it's very simple. Here are the 3 characteristics of an ideal team player. You got to be humble, you got to be hungry, and you got to be smart. So humble is self-explanatory. Think of others more than you think of yourself. The hungry piece is about this desire to work hard together. So you got to have like the drive, the desire to dig deep, work hard together. And then the smart thing is not about IQ. It's really about EQ. Do we really have empathy for each other? Are we trying to understand each other? How do we behave around other people? Are we considerate? So humble, hungry, smart. That's the culture in which we really want our leadership development efforts to be spun out of. All right. So that's number one. It's got to be cultural. Number two, it's got to be modeled, has to be modeled at the executive level, first and foremost. We have to, and I'm speaking about our team, we have to be leaders that want to develop other leaders and not just want to do it, but are modeling it. Tony Morgan from the Unstuck Group, sort of a business consulting group that does a lot of work with nonprofits and churches. So Unstuck Group, he says that the value of the leader becomes a value within the organization. And it's true. So that's why modeling at that level is so important. I am encouraged because I do see this happening among the executive team. I walked into this environment where it was already evident. And so that gives us a really great foundation, I think, to continue to build on. So number one, it's got to be a part of the culture. Two, it's got to be modeled from the top. Three, we've got to build an actual structure or a system that focuses on, and then very specifically, focuses on relational leadership development. When you think leadership development, Stephanie, I'm curious, do you think more in terms of relationship, or you think more in terms of like a certificate or a curriculum or a class? Like what? Tell me what you think about that.
Definitely relationship. You can have a certificate, education, degree all day long, but if you don't have the true ability to connect with other people, to give them your attention, to focus on them, to really know them, then you can't really invest in them. And that's back to the two-way street. They have to know, when they know you care, they're going to want to listen and learn from you. And then when you're listening and learning from them, it's just magical.
Yeah.
What can happen?
Yeah. You mentioned that one of my previous mentors was our founder, Joe Hale. You're absolutely right. And one of the things that he did so well was he created a group of mentees and he called it the Delta Group. And the Delta stands for Developing Emerging Leaders to Advance. And his whole approach was to very intentionally invite young leaders, I was one of them, into his daily world. And it was in real time. So he would bring real issues or thoughts or strategies into the room with us and allow us to speak into it. But he wasn't just a class. He actually invested in us personally to develop us. And it was a blend of both. It was highly relational, but also included, not like a formal curriculum, but it did include actual things for us to work on. And so it was interesting how it blended both, but it was more relational than anything.
That's good. And he even took you on trips, right?
Oh yeah. I traveled the world, got to look at what does it mean to bring a school into the network, whether to start one or acquire an existing school. And he modeled that in front of these guys in this group. And I look back and I'm so grateful for that. And no doubt know that was a part of God's equipping me to be in this role now.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So, and so the next thing is if you got to have a structure or a system. Before I move on, I just want to say one quick thing. The way that our leadership is structured throughout the organization is got this built-in mechanism for this, which is exciting. And you live it every day because the way it works, you've got, you know, the next executive team, then you got global operations that really oversees all of the school leadership teams. We call those field leadership teams, the FLT. And that is where so much of the leadership development efforts are happening within the network. You mentioned Jessica, right? Is Jessica on the FLT?
No, she's not.
Okay, so that's even better in a sense that it's cascading beyond the FLT. And that's what's so beautiful is that the FLT members are developing leaders within the school, which will inevitably come onto the FLT and in some cases, even onto other leadership positions within the network.
Yeah.
So we've got the structure, but which leads us to the next part in the process is that then we've got to actually define the initiative, right? It's happening organically in each school location, organically meaning it's happening at that level intentionally on its own. What we've got to do is we've got to integrate those efforts across the network. So scale formal leadership development across the network. We are not currently doing that. It's an area of opportunity for us. And quite frankly, just to be honest with you, I don't have that idea to deliver to you and to the audience that's listening today. But very hopeful that our field leaders are going to be speaking into that next month when we have our annual leadership conference. It's an exciting part of our strategic planning conversation in that, hey, we've identified this. It's got to happen. It needs to happen. It's the right thing mm-hmm. to happen. How can we really do this well? And we've got some really smart people. I've said this all along within our network that are going to be entrusted to help us figure this out together.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like you said, it's happening organically, but how do we highlight what's happening and come alongside and develop it and grow it?
Scale the model. Like we've got it. I think if Nick's wants to be successful long-term, mm-hmm. Scaling an effective leadership development process, and I hate to use the word program because it tends to make people just think that are simply part of the program, but it's really a way of like scaling the way that we love and serve our leaders mm-hmm. and emerging leaders.
Yeah. And if someone has a relationship, then the program part or the classwork part, you know, whatever the practical application, if you've got that relationship and you're learning, you're going to want to learn more and live that out is what I think. And yeah, like you've said, we have the platform to be able to make that happen even virtually.
Yeah. Yeah. That is really intriguing because if you think about delivering content or you think about just physically or digitally connecting people, you got to have a platform. And I think we've got an amazing platform within the network. You know a lot about that. I think North Star is such a unique tool in the network for that. I mean, it's its own qualified top level school, like just like all of our brick and mortar schools. It's that, but it is so much more. And that's the exciting thing to think. All we've got to do is figure out how to connect the pieces because we've got them in the network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. So you asked me about my previous mentors and then you asked about, or you made a comment about Jessica, but who poured into you along the way? Who are one or two people that come to mind?
Oh, well, within the network, it would definitely be the most recent would be Dan Cooley, who is the previous director here. Super relational, really brought more than ever collaboration within North Star and really taught leadership from that way, which he learned from Pete Simano in the network. So it's cool to see how that, you know, came from Pete through Dan and now with me. And I think we do that really well with the collaboration. But yeah, Dan, he challenged me often. I love it because I was able to go to him and just, we would talk out ideas. We would strategize. We would look at how is something going? How is it getting better? We were always working together. Mm. We were a really good team. He was the director. I was under him. So he led me. And I remember he always said I was a great follower because he knew even if I didn't agree with him, when I walked out of the room, I was going to support him 100%.
Wow.
And even him saying that like motivated me to do that. Like if I ever had an idea not to do it, I would always support him because does that make sense? Like he was even leading me in that. Like, here's who I see who you are. Now be that all the time.
Yeah.
And he was just incredible. I learned so much. He challenged me to be more relational because I can be very task oriented, hardcore about things. But
what I love about how you're describing that relationship with Dan is that he gave you space and freedom to challenge him. I think a lot of times we see leaders that are developing younger leaders, it's sort of like, well, here's the way, you follow the way and don't challenge a whole lot of it. I've had those people in my life as well. And yeah, the concepts are helpful, right? They have more experience that they can show you the way. But when you don't feel, when you are an emerging leader and you're being mentored by someone else, it doesn't feel really good when you're not able to challenge the leader. Mm-hmm. And I want to be that kind of leader.
Yeah, that was so good. I'm glad you put more words to that because he was so confident in who God made him to be that he was never threatened by a strong woman. I mean, he just, you know, is confident in who he is. And yeah, we just had the best time those 6 years. Yeah. I was so mad when he left.
It's so cool because like, you're leading in the seat that he was in, and you're doing a really good job. And that's just credit to your mentor, somebody that paved the way, equipped the leader underneath him to then take over his spot and lead well. Gosh, that's like what you hope for in leadership development. And it's so cool. It's within our network. It's a success story within the network. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because we can bring Pete all the way back in.
Pete, I love
who's it. Still those, in the network.
Those guys are still faithfully serving in the network after many years. Amazing. So thankful for people like that.
Yeah. So thanks, Pete, if you're ever listening to this, for investing in Dan, who invested
out
in
to
me.
Pete. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we're ready for number five.
All right. Number one, it's got to be about the culture. It's going to be outflow of the culture. Two, it's got to be modeled at the top. Three, you've got to have a structure, right? We talked a little bit about that. And I was unclear about four, but four, you've got to define, you have to actually define it. What does it look like for us? And then you have to implement. So define and implement, that's four together. And five is the scaling part, right? So we didn't talk a whole lot about scaling the model, mainly because I don't know how to do that right now. Just being totally transparent. But that's what we've got to figure out. I think we've got one through three pretty well defined, but defining it and implementing it and then scaling it, so that's where we've got the work to do. And our field leaders are going to help us figure that out.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. We've got work to do ahead. We're far away from where we need to be, but we have a great head start, Stephanie. And we'll see. Maybe we can circle back in a year or so, and I can report to you on the traction that we've made.
Yeah, I'm super excited for what God is doing. And it's really cool that he has just brought so many people together. And it's going to be so fun just hanging on for the ride because there's a lot of work to do. And I'm so glad that he's given you and your team a vision to take us there.
Me too. I'm thankful that he has led us to this point, and I'm confident he's going to continue leading us. He better continue leading us because our ideas and our wisdom run out pretty quickly.
Yeah, he will. He will. All right. Is everybody ready for some fun questions? Oh, we got to have some more of those. All right. What is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Okay. I'm on a soapbox a little bit. I'll try to keep it short. There's a local ice cream shop called Area 51.
Yep.
And they have the best flavor in the whole world called bourbon butter pecan.
I've had it. Yeah. It's yummy.
It's like I get gallons of that stuff and just go at it. It doesn't have any actual bourbon in it, just so everybody knows. Maybe. I don't know.
It's yummy. It is yummy.
It's good.
All right. Is double dipping at a party ever acceptable?
Yes, but there's a trick to it. So if you have a chip, you can go in on one side of the chip, but you better flip the chip over. You can use the same chip, but you have to use a different side of the chip.
All right. What is the weirdest thing in your refrigerator right now?
You know, I have small kids, right? Yeah. So probably it's not the thing that's in my refrigerator. It's the amount of one certain thing. So I bet we have 400 cheese sticks in our refrigerator right now.
They love cheese.
Kids, we go through 10 a day. Easy.
Oh, well.
Yeah. There you go.
And it's Cheez-Its, not in my fridge, but at my house. That reminds me of Cheez-Its. I thought you were going to say Cheez-Its.
No, it's not weird.
All right. What is your favorite car you've ever owned that you love to drive?
I'm not a car guy.
Truck.
Okay, I'm a truck guy. There's no issues whatsoever with the truck I currently drive. I'm thankful for it. But I had a 1995 Ford Ranger when I was we just got married. And I loved that thing. It was four-wheel drive. I put big mud tires on it. And I just remember thinking, as far as vehicles go, I've arrived. This is what I've always wanted. And maybe that shows a little bit about who I am and my roots, but I'm like a country guy in a city boy's body. It's weird. People are shocked when they realize that I really love the outdoors and I love fishing and hunting and I'm not afraid to get dirty, but they look at me and I often get feedback of there's no way. We can't see you doing that. It's true. And I had the truck one time.
All right. Let's see. One last question. What are the top three characteristics of the people you admire?
Top three. Yeah. Humility. I mean, I hate to circle back to the ideal team player, but humility is a big thing. And I think because for me, I can typically assess, at least according to my own grid, whether someone is authentic or not. If they don't exude humility, I tend to, my respect doesn't ever start. It's got to start there, so to speak. So that's number one. And then vulnerability. So humility and vulnerability. Maybe they go together, but I see them a little bit differently. And then somebody that is just like faithful to their walk with Christ, not meaning they're perfect, but they're just committed to it and they're growing and they're daily experiencing Christ in their life and it is informing every aspect of who they are. Clearly, that's huge. So, humility, vulnerability, faithfulness in their walk with Christ. I want to be a person like that. And there's several people that I could look to right now and say, yeah, they have those things. Mm,
that's so good. So good. All right. Well, thank you for going deeper with what leadership development is looking like and going to look like in the future at Next Network. So join us for the next episode. Our last one of this four-part series, we'll be diving deeper into the opportunity of how we're going to connect better within the network.
I'm looking forward to that conversation too.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions for our guest or would like information about North Star, please email us at podcast@nsa.school. We love having guests on our show and getting to hear their stories. If you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest to feature, please email us and let us know. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming stories.